we celebrate, as I said, the first Sunday of our Christian liturgical calendar. Big words, right? But all that means, liturgical, that word, that means the work we do in worship. And the work, basically, that we do in worship is to praise God, right? We celebrate the gift we have in Christ. And actually, every single thing about the church, everything we do is about Christ. In fact, we're called Christians. So Christ is the very foundation upon all that we stand on, right? And so it's fitting to begin our Christian calendar preparing our hearts to celebrate Christ. And this season of Advent, 4 Sundays, it lasts 4 weeks. 4 Sundays. And each of the candles, as we were talking about with the kids of all ages, is that the candles represents the gifts that Christ gives to us. Because it's important to remember that. And, of course, the season after is called Christmas. But we'll get to that. You know, we have a tendency to want to jump into things, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas, too. It's just a beautiful time where family and friends gather and, you know, we sing carols and it's just beautiful time. But here's the thing. Sometimes we can get so excited about something, so focused on it, that we forget to prepare for that. And it is so important to prepare, because what if you say, all right, we're going to have a Christmas gathering at my house, and then you don't even take the time to prepare having food, you know, making sure there are plates, making sure there's things in place, so you miss the important part of the event. So today we're going to talk about the importance of preparation of Christ, because we really need to work on that. You know, we can say that we're going to celebrate Christmas, but if our heart is not ready to receive Christ, then all of it is meaningless. All these celebrations and all these parties and all these things we do, they mean nothing if there's no room for Christ in our hearts. And sometimes preparation, I mean, if putting up the Christmas tree, you know, you got to prepare by moving out some of the stuff that's been there and making room for Christ. So let's pray today as we try to understand this idea of preparation and the gift of hope that Christ gives to us. Let's pray. Holy God, we confess that we get so excited about things that we forget the important part. We love you and we are really looking forward to celebrating your birth, your coming to this earth, and your second coming. But before you come again, you remind us that there are things you want us to do to prepare for you. Help us to do that. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy God. Enter into each one of us as we seek to understand what it means to prepare for you. In Christ we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yes, we're celebrating or getting ready to celebrate Christmas. But you know what? The fact is Christ has already come, right? We've already received the gift of our Lord. And so we're preparing for his birth, but we're also preparing for him to come again. So Advent really has that dual purpose of preparing for Christ, not just his birth, but his second coming. And Jesus reminds us over and over again, you know, if you think of the readings we've had so far, and in fact, just even reading the Bible, he tells us, and he shares illustration after illustration about being ready, doing the work that he wants us to do, so that when he comes again, he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, the stories that we read about the master who gives talents and who gives things, who gives to his slaves so that they can do what they're supposed to do while the master is gone. And so, my friends, we need to understand that Christ is telling us, before he comes again, he has a work for us to do. But as I said before, this idea of preparation is hard. I mean, just think, didn't we jump into Christmas even before Thanksgiving? I mean, I'm not talking about you or me, but I mean, I look around the stores, right? And I don't think we even, before Thanksgiving was even here, I saw Christmas trees up in some stores and, you know, carols playing, which is nice, but we do like to get ahead and jump ahead. We love our fast food too, don't we? I do. I know, you know, my son and I sometimes, you know, we're like, what are we going to get? And we don't do that often, but the first thing is fast food because it tastes good and it's fast. But is it good for you?
No.
Nope. I'm learning that as I get older. You know, the things that we do or don't do, they do have consequence, my friends. So it is good to have things fast and quick, but it's not good for our health. The same with our spiritual selves, my friends. You know, it's good that we get to celebrate things. It's good that we come to Sunday, but that's not enough. We need to prepare for Christ every single day, every single moment. Don't you find your energy being depleted when you don't take the time to pray? When you don't take the time to read the scriptures and spend with God, don't you find, even missing church, don't you find that something is missing? That, you know, this world keeps taking things out of you because, you know what, the world's not going to stop. It's broken. The world is going to continue to throw challenges and problems and stress our way. In fact, we talked about that at the youth group. You know, that's not going to change anytime soon. But what can change, my friends, is how we deal with it, how we prepare to deal with the stress, the challenges, the problems of this world. And the best weapon we have is Christ. He's enough. That's why we have this candle of hope that we lit today. Our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, did you hear it? In essence, it asks for God to come and fix all the things that are going wrong. Have you done that? I love how it starts, how Isaiah starts. He says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." I love that imagery. You know, so many times I had conversations with God that, and I've told you this, that Jesus, I think you need to come and make things better. And you need to do it yesterday. But he hasn't really come yet. Because he reminds me that there's work that needs to be done so more people can hear about him and we can be ready to receive him. You know, we all have opinions, don't we, about how things should be done? And sometimes they're not always the same. But we have to remember that our opinions, our perspective is limited. Our physical, our mental, our spiritual understanding is so limited, and we have to be careful of not getting caught up in the literal. So as we read from Isaiah today, right, we can get, and we heard from Jesus talking about the stars and the sun not shining and the stars falling, right? We can read that and we can get so caught up in the literal, trying to figure out all these signs. Okay, when is he going to come? When is this going to happen? And if we stay on that place, we're going to miss the larger picture. We're going to miss the larger message that Jesus came to give us. And we have to be very careful because depending on any given day, our perspective will change. One day we might have hope. Another day, we might be pessimistic. You've had those days, you know, you're excited and you have faith and, you know God's going to get you through all these things. You trust in Christ. But then we deal with challenges and what happens? Negativity, concern, right? Uncertainty. All these things come into our heart and they threaten this hope and peace, the candle that Christ wants to light in us. So we have to be very careful. I mean, just look at the first part of Mark, right? Jesus said, in those days, after that suffering, the sun is going to be darkened, the moon will not give its light. It's the beginning and end of all things, the sun and moon, right? I mean, biologically speaking, what we learned in school, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and in fact, life on earth, it's all connected, right? It's contingent on biological and chemical processes. We need the sun for life. But then we still have to read on, not get stuck there. Because here's what Jesus says. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds of glory with great power.
Amen.
And glory. And so that's where we got to focus. That's where we have to focus, that hope of Christ coming again in hope and glory. Because when Christ comes again, my friends, we're not going to be reliant on limited human things. We're not going to be reliant on anything but God. Here's what we hear in Revelation 22, verse 5, about that time. God will be the source of all things, and He will be enough, my friends. He will be enough, because here's what we read. There will be no more night. There will be no need of light of lamp or sun, for the Lord will be their light. It's hard for us to fully get this, that God is enough. That image is so different from our human understanding, right? Because, I mean, look, light comes from the sun. And when the clouds hide the sun, we see a limitation. We feel the effects. The lights that we have here, well, guess what? It's going to run out. And if we turn the switch off, it's going to go. If there's a problem with the electricity, the wiring, the lights are going to go off. It's limited. It's contingent. But with God, there is no limitations. So hear that again, my friends, for all those things that take away from your hope, all those things that challenge your faith, all the things in this world that push you to say there is no God, or where are you going to find your hope? You cannot get through this. All those things that you hear, my friends, answer that with the understanding of Christ, of our Lord, being enough, because our Lord has no beginning and no end. These things won't last forever. We won't, our physical bodies won't last forever. But our Lord will be forever, is forever. These, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That is so beyond our understanding. But we need to understand that He indeed is where we get our hope. And Jesus gives us advice about what to do as we wait for Him to come again. Beware and keep alert. Keep awake. My friends, are you prepared for Christ to come again? Depends on the day, right? There are some days when we go through troubles and I'm like, all right, as I said, I want you to come, Christ. But there are other days where, you know, I look at my son and I'm like, you know, I want to enjoy time and have grandkids. And, you know, you plan out your life, right? You want to enjoy those things. We are so mercurial. We want one thing one day and another thing another day. Aren't we glad that our Lord is not limited like us? That our Lord, what He says He will do, He has done. Amen. Christ was the promised Messiah. You know why we read the prophets, the Old Testament? Because those, through the prophets, those prophets give us promise of the coming of the one who's going to save us. And indeed, Christ came. Isaiah is one of the prophets that prophesies of the coming of Christ, you know, the light in the darkness. There are other prophets who spoke over and over about the coming of our Lord. Jeremiah. We need to understand that our God has given us promise after promise, and in Christ those promises have come true. We can have hope because God is trustworthy. My friends, you and I cannot be trustworthy. Because how many times have I made promises unintentionally that I have not kept? Have you? I'm sure you've done that, right? Not intentionally, but we are human. And so the things that we say, we're not able to carry out. But our Lord is faithful. So let's hold on to that hope. As we prepare for Christ, let's hold on to that hope. And remember that while He comes, because you did hear the advice, the illustration that Jesus gave to us today, right? Jesus used the illustration of a man going on a journey who gave jobs and responsibilities to his workers, expecting them to be faithful in doing the work they were given to do. So yes, my friends, we have hope because our Lord has come. But He's given you and I a work to do in the meantime. We do have a responsibility. Translate that to the mission, the work. We are to make disciples of Christ. That's our work. That's our mission. In essence, we are supposed to grow as a disciple, meaning have a better relationship with Christ, a personal relationship with Christ, hear what He says, understand what He says, and then go out and do it. Because that is how we will make disciples. And by the way, you and I are not the ones making the disciples. It's God working in us. And His Spirit that's going to convict everyone to follow Him. But He's given a chance for us to be a part of that work. So that is the preparation you and I need to do. Because when Christ comes again, he's going to ask us, did you do the work I gave you to do to make disciples? Or were you more focused on yourself, your comfort? My friends, each one of us will have an accounting, because the church is not about us. The church is not about what makes us comfortable. It's not about what pleases us, but it's about this work, this mission that God has given us to do in Christ.
Amen.
To go out and give this world the awesome message of hope in Christ. Now, don't you think this world needs some hope? Don't we need some hope? So we can't give what we don't have. So I pray, my friends, that as we hear this message of Christ today, those of us who are finding the challenges, the world, to be so difficult sometimes that it drains us, that we can come to our Lord who will give you and I hope and a peace and a joy. That's the third candle. We'll get to on the third Sunday. And the love that passes all human understanding, so that as we're filled with these gifts from Christ, he will empower us to go and tell others and change this broken and hurting world to somewhere, to something that reflects the kingdom of God, which will come in due time. Christ is coming again, but we get the privilege of experiencing it beforehand, here and now. So may God help each one of us to prepare our hearts first to receive Christ and then go out and share this awesome message of hope and love and peace and joy to all who would listen. Amen.
Amen.